things over the last few weeks, and this morning we're going to talk about the whole subject of giving, okay? And when we do that, this is what I need everybody to understand, because I think sometimes we forget it, that we survive as a church. We survive or we thrive on what we give, okay? Bill Gates ain't writing checks out to the church, just so you know, okay? Just if any of you are wondering, do we get money from somewhere else? No. Just look around, we're it, okay? This is the sum total of what we have. What we give allows us either to survive or to thrive. It means we do what we can with what is given, okay? There's nothing else, there's nothing more. Just look around and you can look at the person next to you and say, I guess we're responsible for this. That's exactly right. So that means what you should do, okay? For those of you established here, if you're visiting us today, we're so glad you're here. But if you're established here, okay, one of the things you should do so that you know the state of the church, because you have a stake in this, right? You're a part of this. We are in this together. Is when you get your bulletin, your program every Sunday, you should flip it over and say, oh, how did we do last week? Okay? And if you would do that, you would be able to answer on a weekly basis, because you love this church, you are concerned about it, you care about the direction we're going. You would be able to answer this question every Sunday. You'd be able to flip it over and go, okay, are we surviving or are we thriving? Because we give you the number there it takes, okay? We give you the number it takes to do what we're doing, okay? And by the way, that is like bare bones, you know, slash and cut everything to do what we're doing, okay? So you can look every week and go, okay, are we surviving or are we thriving? So just to save you the suspense and, okay, we're just surviving. You just need to know that. In fact, we are behind currently for the year, okay? We are just simply surviving. We are barely getting by. We have slashed everything, but we're paying the bills that we have. And I'm going to be kind of a little transparent this morning. Hope you allow me to do that and just say that's where we are, okay? We owe money on this building. We pay that. We pay salaries for 2 full-time pastors. We pay light bills because that's probably important, okay, that we have that. So that's what we do. And we have, you know, little on top of that to try to maintain buildings and property. And so, in fact, because we got some gifts last year, is the reason we were able to replace a lawnmower that we found out was dead over the winter, okay? So that's just because somebody was generous with some gifts they had been given. That's what we're able to do, and we are simply able to simply do that, okay? And you need to know that many of you who have kids, okay, your kids are able, the ministries, you would say, really? You had to cut stuff? I didn't know that. Yeah, there's this little cart at Fairway. Maybe you've seen it. It got stolen once, okay? We had to track it down. Maybe you've seen it. It's got cans in it. That's what funds a lot of the stuff that you think just continues to happen and continues to take place when it comes to our kids and our students. Because I'll show you that budget line is zero. You just need to know where we're at, okay? You need to know where we're at. And I say all that because I want you to understand just basically where we are and basically what one of the things I think is really behind this issue when we start talking about giving. That giving is about direction, not intention. Every single person in here wants to be generous. Every single person in here wants to give. You all want to. You all desire to. You all enjoy what happens here. You're excited for what takes place. You know, you love it. But when it comes to direction, that's a totally different thing. And giving isn't about intention. If we just intended to give, that would be wonderful. And money just appeared and checks wrote themselves because of that. That would be great. But intention gets us nowhere. Every single person in here, I know you. You are all generous people. You desire that. You want to give. You have a desire to be generous. You want to see the church flourish. But there's a difference between wanting something and intending to be one way and what actually happens in your life. It's, by the way, why we judge people so differently than we judge ourselves. We judge ourselves based on intention. Oh, I know, I didn't show up at that meeting, I forgot. I intended to help that person out. I intended to pray for Nita when she had her surgery, right? We intend to do a lot of things, and we judge ourselves by our intentions, but we judge other people by their actions. And that's why we're much harder on other people than ourselves, because, well, I know I intended to do that. I intended to give, I intended to, you know, make sure the church is doing well. But when it comes to giving, it's not about intention, it's about direction. It's about the direction we're going in. And I want you to see this story that takes place, that Luke tells us about a very interesting scene. Okay, it's only a few verses. It's in the book of Luke, and you can turn there, Luke chapter 21. You can open your Bible app, and you can follow along there as well. But it's very interesting because I think this is what Jesus is talking about as he is observing what is taking place. So this is Luke chapter 21, begins verse number 1. It says, while Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Okay? So just so you understand, first century Judaism looked very different than us. They would have had a box in the temple. And that box just wouldn't have been like a box hanging on the wall. It would have been a substantial box. But it would have had kind of, I don't know how to explain it. The pictures really are hard to fathom. But it would have had like a horn attached, okay? And you would drop your coins, because that's all they had, coins, no credit cards, right? No paper money. You drop your coins, okay? And the reason that you would watch this happen, and really you wouldn't watch it, you would hear it happen, okay? Because obviously rich people are going to have more what? More coins, which means it's going to make a louder noise. And so you'd hear that and be like, oh, there's a gift. Man, that's a rich person. That person giving a lot, right? Could you imagine in our context trying to do that? Here's a big check. It's going in the basket, and it's amazing, right? That's what's happening there, okay? So they're all marveling at this. Jesus is standing there watching this. Because everybody, you know, boo, big sound goes in, and wow, this is awesome, this is incredible. Somebody just gave a lot, okay? And so that's the scene in the temple that Jesus and his disciples are standing at. And, you know, it's almost like, come here, guys, watch this. Oh, yeah, we've been a part of this before. And when you hear the big sound, it means somebody gave big, and that's great, okay? But something happens that day that nobody pays attention to but Jesus. This is very important when you see this, because this helps us to understand what Jesus pays attention to, okay? While Jesus is watching this scene, look what happens. A poor widow came by and dropped in two small coins. Now, can you imagine, based on that, everybody else is doing, just picture, you know, you're going to the bank and you got a jar full of coins and they're dumping in that coin sorter and making all that noise, and then you hear, dink, dink. That's the difference. And everybody missed it. The only thing people noticed were the rich people who dropped in lots of coins, made lots of noise, got lots of attention. The widow drops in two of the coins, the two smallest of the coins. So in our day and age, that's what? 2 pennies. I mean, can you picture this? Offering basket going around, people putting checks, right? 2 pennies. 2 pennies. And Jesus notices this. This is really important. When we get tied into amounts so often, Jesus is looking at hearts. When we get tied into how much and how big, Jesus is looking at hearts. And this is what everybody's missing that day. Everybody's looking at amount, they're hearing the noise, the fanfare, and here comes this poor widow. Two little coins, drop, drop. Everybody misses it but Jesus. And then he says this. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. This poor widow has given more than all the rest of them. To which the disciples are utterly confused, just as we are. Wait a minute, Jesus, I don't think, if we tallied this up, okay, if we got out our Excel spreadsheet, it would show 2 cents, and it would show all this other money. What on earth are you talking about? What do you mean she has given more than all the rest of them? Because in our terms, she gave nothing compared to the rest of them. She gave very little as far as the rest of them. They all gave a lot. They made a lot of noise. They had a lot of fanfare. And she drops in 2 little coins, 2 little pennies. And Jesus, I think you're confused. They had to be confused. If you're reading it, you're confused until you see what he says next. For they, this is why it's different. For they have given a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. See, they didn't know that Jesus did. They all thought, wow, this is amazing. He goes, no, 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 no. They gave a little bit, a tiny part of their surplus. And it sounded good, and you all thought it was great. And then this lady drops in 2 coins, and I'm telling you, she gave everything she has, and that is the huge difference, okay? Because it wasn't about the amount, it was about the heart. It is always about the heart when it comes to God. He's not impressed with all the noise. He's not impressed with how many zeros. He's impressed by the heart that says, am I generous or not? Am I giving or not? Am I doing life with open hands, ready to do what God asked me to do with what I have? Am I ready to do that? And we get tied up in what amounts? And we got tied up in zeros. And sometimes when we do that, we end up thinking we're generous, but we're not. We end up intending to be generous, but we're not. We think we are, but we aren't. And what Jesus is just doing for us is helping us understand this whole difference between intention and direction. This whole thing between intention and direction. I'm sure that they thought the coins I drop makes it sound good, but they were only given a tiny part of their surplus. Okay? Their intention was pretty good. I'm going to give, but it was very little compared to the woman that shows up with what we would consider a small amount, and yet it was everything she had to give that and offer it with an open hand to God. It's the difference between intention and direction, between wanting to be generous and we are generous. Wanting to be, desiring to be, hoping to be, and actually being generous. It's the same thing. We hope. In a lot of areas, we're like, oh, I hope I'm a good dad, and hope I'm a good husband, right? We hope we're good. We hope we're helping our kids. What about actually helping our kids? What about measuring what we're doing and going in the direction of doing what they need to the most? I find we use this term quite often of intention, where we want to, we desire to be, but actually doing it is two different things. So what I'd like to do in the rest of our moments here this morning is talk about going in a new direction. Let's just drop the intention part for a moment. I know we all want to be generous. We all want to give. We all want to see the church do well. We want to see the church flourish. We want to see more people come to know Christ. We want all of that. But what is it going to take individually for you to be a generous person? What's it going to take for a new direction for you to actually just stop saying you want to be generous and hoping you're generous to actually being generous? That's where I began to do a lot of praying and thinking this week. What would it look like if we walked in a new direction? Let's just drop all the intention. I know our hearts are good. They're in the right place. We want it. Let's figure out how to do it. And so when it comes to new direction, I'm going to give you 3 things that I think are helpful for going in a new direction, okay? And the first one is this, that we would be moving in our lives from emotional giving to consistent giving. See, as Americans, we're not just emotional shoppers and spenders. We're actually emotional givers, okay? And this is why currently, and you can read the stats on this, currently, of all the charitable giving done in the United States, only a third of it is done to churches, okay? So just think about that. Only a third of the pie when it comes to charity is actually going to a church. 2/3 are going to other organizations. And some of that is because we are emotional givers, okay? The Red Cross could come here today and tell you that, okay? They struggle. Tornado, awesome. Boom, there they go, right? Hurricane, boom. All this money flows in, why? We see pictures. We see pictures and we hear story and it stirs us and it moves us and text this number and you can give and do this and you can give. And all of a sudden, boom, there's all this money available to give and to help out because we're just emotional givers, okay? Okay, the Humane Society figured this out. If we put every pitiful dog in the world on a 30-second commercial, watch the money come in, okay? I don't know where they find these dogs, okay? And it's like, this is what they do, and all the money comes in. When St. Jude's hospital's down, what do you think they do? Do you think the CEO is out there? Absolutely not. Let's parade every kid who's got cancer out there. Why? Because it moves and it stirs, okay? And so to keep up, I guess we have two options. We get some of you to volunteer your kids, and we parade them up here in some pitiful outfit and beg and plead for money, or we move away from that. There's nothing in Scripture that says that's the way we should give. It's just that's what we've learned from culture. Wait, you know, till disaster, wait till a moment, and let's stir some emotions up in people and watch the money come in. And let's face it, we don't do that on a consistent basis, right? That doesn't happen all the time. You certainly come to church and feel emotionally moved all the time. And some churches have tried to figure out how to do that better and how do we stir people up. But I think there's a different way, and I think this is a more biblical way, that we move to consistent giving. That I look and I give consistently, okay? I don't give by what my emotions say or what's going on. I give consistently to places where I need to give. And if you're a follower of Christ, do you realize that where you're supposed to give first is the church. That's just where you're supposed to do it, okay? So Paul told them this. Maybe you didn't realize this, okay? But this is in 1 Corinthians. On the first day of each week. Why the first day? Because that's where they met, just like we do, okay? On Sunday, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. And he goes on to say, collect it together so when I come, that money can be used for all sorts of things. It can be used in your fellowship. But that's what he told them to do. Don't wait till there's a crisis. Don't wait till there's a disaster. Don't wait till you can stir up emotions. Every week, set aside a portion of the money you have earned and give it. That's the way the early church operated. That's the way the church is supposed to operate. That's what God has designed for us, that we would be consistent givers, that we would be consistently giving, and that we would start doing that on a consistent basis. And that, again, that's just not the way we think. That's just not the way that we've been programmed. That's certainly not the way it happens in culture, but that's the way it should happen here. So as a Christ follower, it's am I being consistent? Am I moving then in a new direction? Now I'm being consistent. Now I can't just hope I'm being generous, and I can't just, but I really want to. Now I'm going in a direction where I'm going to be generous because it's going to happen on a consistent weekly basis that I am going to give and I am going to be generous. Number two, second direction, moving from financial chaos to financial order. You want to be generous, you have to move away from financial chaos into financial order, okay? That's challenging for all of us. And again, our culture is no help in this. It really isn't. There really isn't much financial order. It's financial chaos. In fact, I don't know if you saw it, and I don't know where it will end up. But if you saw the story that's coming out of Colorado with the man who murdered his family, and what did they say that they know of right now was one of the main contributors? Finances. And I'm going, oh my goodness. It is. This creates more stress in marriage than anything else. If you just sat down, husbands and wives, and just went, what if we not argued about money, okay? Right? Because it just happens. Because when we're in chaos, that's what happens. When there is no space, that happens. We've talked about this before. When there's no margin, okay, we end up yelling at each other over the wash machine that broke down when it was nobody's fault, right? These machines, they just break down. Check engine lights, they just come on, okay? And they just drive us nuts, right? And with no space, that can be the thing you argue about, and it's nobody's fault. But so often we have no space, no chance. And here's the problem with finances that makes it even more challenging as a Christ follower, okay? And that is you can't pray your way out of something you behaved your way into. Now, it would be awesome if we could do this, but it doesn't work, okay? I'm just telling you, it doesn't work. If we could just all open our Credit Karma app, say, oh God, I know I've done bad, but can you please help me and watch it rise, okay? That'd be awesome, right? In Jesus' name, may my credit score go up, okay? If we just did that, right? If we live that, that'd be a terrible way to live, okay? But that's what we do quite often, isn't it? Oh my goodness, God, I've got a deep hole. Can you get me out? What do you think God's thinking at that point? You had the shovel and you dug the hole. What do you want me to do, okay? And that's what we do. And this is the way quite often when it comes to finances, we react. And with a lot of other things, we just end up asking God to get us out of something we behaved our way into. And that's what makes this even more challenging. That when there's financial chaos, it's quite often we're just asking God, God bail me out somehow. And guess what? And anybody in here knows, some of you in here know this because you've done this, okay? You've taken the class, you've gone, and other churches offer it, okay? We've just not been able to do it. Some of you have gone to other churches in town and gone through Financial Peace University and started to get order, and it takes time, doesn't it, okay? I realize you can dig the hole much faster than it fills in, okay? Because it's just, that's the way it is. But order takes time. And it's a direction you go into. And it's a direction you move into. And it's the difference between people who are able to be generous and not. You want to be, but when things are chaotic, when it comes to finances, it becomes nearly impossible to be generous. Because all we are bombarded with is everything we have going on in our own life. The simplest way of this is give, save, and live. If you would go 10, 10, 80, and you could get to that order, it would really change everything for you. It really would change everything for you, okay? But most of us, if we would be honest, it's 0, 0, 100, right? It's 0, 0, 100. That's what it is for most of us, okay? That's what happens. And so giving becomes very little. Maybe it's 1,198, okay? Whatever it might be, I'm not gonna try to do math. That's not my specialty, okay? And so, but you get the idea. Those three categories equal 100%. Where are you in those three categories? And the point is, start somewhere. Well, I can't do 10, 10, 80, so I quit, right? And I'm just going to keep going my own way. No, start somewhere and start moving in the direction of financial order. Start somewhere. No, you're not going to change this overnight. No, it's not going to change immediately. But start moving in that direction so that you can be generous, so you can be generous, so you can give, so you can move in that order of having financial order instead of financial chaos. Last one, moving from closed hands to open hands. So what do I mean by this, okay? Let me just help you understand something. And this is also Paul writing to the church in Corinth. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to, this is so huge, to share with others. One of the things we don't understand about our Heavenly Father, He is open-handed with us. He has given us everything. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. That is God's nature, open-handed. He has blessed us with so much. And that is how God has treated us. He has generously provided for us. He has been open-handed with us, giving us everything. And then what? How do we respond to that? Paul's response, hey, church at Corinth, live open-handed. God gave it to me. How could I use it for somebody else? God blessed me with it. How can I use it for somebody else? And it's that living open-handed. Because sometimes what happens if we would go back to percentage of 10, 10, 80, sometimes I'm like, no, gave me 10%. Sorry, God, done my 10%. I'm out, okay? That's not open-hand living because quite often God prompts and God pushes us past those limits into doing other things and helping in other ways and continuing to be generous. 10% should be where we start, should be a starting point for us of where we need to be. And living with open hands, remembering that God has given us everything, everything. And He just asks us to, in turn, do the same thing. So, here's my plea this morning. Will you help us thrive? By walking in a new direction personally, it will help us to move from surviving to thriving. So I want to show you something here, okay? This is a scene. I don't know what's coming up that soon. This is a scene of an interview that took place with Jeff Foxworthy, okay? It's not comedy, okay? It's very different. So Jeff Foxworthy was challenged several years ago to help out. He is from Atlanta. That's where he lives. To help out in the Atlanta mission. Okay? So they come to Jeff Foxworthy, comedian all over the place. And this is what they ask him to do. Teach a small group Bible study. Okay? Now, wouldn't that be interesting? Now, his problem was like probably many of ours. He had a lot of preconceived ideas of what that would look like, why people were in the homeless shelter in Atlanta. And I'll actually talk about that in a different sermon in a couple weeks. The part that he figured out as he's working with these guys is they needed to be generous. They were in a program that provided lots for them, and they needed to move in a direction themselves of being generous. So I want you to watch this and see what happens when Jeff, it just, you know, feels moved to challenge these guys, which then ends up like 250 people in his Bible study, okay? When he challenges them to move in the direction of being generous. Watch this.
It's called being in the program, and if you agree to get cleaned, if you'll get sober, they'll put you up for a year. They'll feed you every day. They'll put you up for a year, but we're going to go through, you know, emotional healing, spiritual healing, job attainment, you know, all kinds of.
They have to be in a small group. Well, Foxworthy.
Yeah, well. But it's like we want to restore. We don't want to just keep taking care of you because you're homeless. We want you not to be homeless. And so after about a year of doing the program, Jim Reese, who quit his job as CEO of a Fortune 100 company to run the Atlanta mission, just an amazing story in itself. I said to Jim, they need to bless somebody because we're providing every meal. We're providing the beds. We're providing the towels and the soap. They need to bless somebody. And I said, I want to give them all at Christmas $100. And Jim's like, oh, no, I don't want people on the street buying crack. No, don't give them $100. And so, and I just, you know, I kept praying over this, and I said, I'm telling you, it's going to be okay. I just feel like God's telling me it's going to be okay. So we ended up with $50. And so by this time, the 12 had grown into, you know, 250 guys on Tuesday morning. And so I went to the bank and got crisp $50 bills. And at the end of the thing, we gave every guy in the program a $50 bill. Guys, you're jumping up going, I can get a bus ticket. I can go home for Christmas. I can buy my kids presents. I mean, they were high-fiving and so excited. And I said to them, I said, okay, that's your money. You do it whatever you want to. But three blocks away, there's a school that caught on fire last month, and it burned up all of their stuff. And I said, so they're really struggling without notebooks and paper and pencils and things like that. I said, I was just down at Children's Healthcare last week, and they told me that over the Christmas holidays, there will be 300 kids there on Christmas Day. And it's the coldest winter in 100 years in Atlanta, and there's people sleeping under cardboard. So whatever you guys collectively want to donate into this basket in the middle of the room, we as group leaders have pledged to match you dollar for dollar. You know, the 15 group leaders will match you 250 guys dollar for dollar, and we'll go buy notebook paper, and we'll go buy hats and gloves, and we'll go buy toys for kids. 250 homeless addicts got up and went and put their $50 bill in the bucket. Every man in the room. And then they started digging through their pockets and pulling out $5 bills and $10 bills. And then they went back to their room and they got their change and started dumping it in there. And at that point, I got up and walked around the corner and sat against the wall and sobbed like I have not sobbed as an adult in my life. Because I'm like, man, I feel good about myself when I sit there and write a check for somebody, but I never gave every dime I had to somebody else. And so being wrong about somebody, when you look at somebody out on the street and you think, oh, they're just a bum or they're just a drug addict, or it's like, no, they're a person. And they've got a heart maybe bigger than yours, and that they're willing to give everything they've got to help somebody out.
Well, isn't that powerful?
Amazing story. Because generosity is all about a direction we move in, not an intention we wish for. And if we could remember that and do the things to walk in the right direction, it would help us to not just want to be generous, but actually be generous. So I'm going to ask our ushers to come, and we're going to pray this morning. We're going to pray for the direction we need to go in. Some of you have different application of this than others as far as financial order and the things that we talked about, living with open hands, how important that is. And then we're going to sing together. And let's just see if we can move in a direction of generosity, not just an intention of generosity in our lives. So let's pray.